we think about, oh, we're going to be talking about future things today. Actually, if you look at the first chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus tells John to write about the things that are, the things that were, and the things that are about to come. And so this morning, we're going to focus in on that first one, talking about the things that are. Jesus Christ addressed seven churches in the opening chapters, or I should say chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And that's where we want to turn our attention this morning, to those messages that Christ has to the churches. And guess what? They're just as good for us today as it was for them then. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, I want to thank you for your word that counsels us, that instructs us, that shows us the truth of God. And I pray, Father, this morning that we may come to grips with that truth and apply it to ourselves and help us to be a church that always glorifies you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Get behind my clear pulpit here. I didn't want to have any way of hiding from you guys, so that's why we got this kind of pulpit here. So this morning, if you look at the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, and actually second chapter and the third chapter, you're going to come across a phrase that appears four times in the original language. I say that because in this Bible right here, it only appears twice. But it is four times in the original language, and it's the title of this sermon, Hold Fast What You Have. I would say that to you, congregation. Hold fast to what you have. God intends for many blessings to those who walk with him, and he promises blessings for a church that follows him. So my message could stop right there. Hold fast to what you have, or let's restore what has been, and let's move forward. So this phrase right here, hold fast, is found in Revelation 2 verse 13, where when Satan's activities are present, hold fast. In 2:25, when faced with contradictory teaching, hold fast. When faced with compromise, hold fast. When things are going well and you know Christ is returning, my friends, hold fast. There are some things a church should not ever give up on. And he addresses those things here in the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. Number one on that list, don't give up on your love. And you can read about it there in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. And this is written to the church at Ephesus, which, by the way, was one of the better churches. He had less to confront them with. But he said this to them, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first. I wonder if the church of Ephesus paid heed to this encouragement. Because if you study church history, a phrase will keep on coming up in early church history as people would observe the church. And here's the phrase, behold how they love one another. That was what the early church was known for. That is what changed the whole culture. That is what brought us to a Christian worldview. Behold how they loved one another. And so that is the first thing that we should not give up on. You know, only a month ago, I had people commenting to me, we're a family. This is the most friendly church I've ever been in. And you know, I've challenged you with this words, that we might be the most friendly, loving church on South Whidbey. And I really pray that we would move forward with that with full vigor. But whatever the case, the church is a place where the love of Christ is to be present. And in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, it talks there about the kind of love that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome. And he says, this is the kind of love that we are to have. He says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You got that? Those are some great things. Let love be without hypocrisy. Honor one another and serve the Lord. It's all in there. This is the kind of church that we want the purpose to be. Think about what was the commandments of Jesus, our Savior. He said the greatest commandment is this, to love God and not step on the equipment. To love God, sorry, Russ. One more time. To love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That is the first commandment, to love God with all of our being. My friends, that should be the number one pursuit in your life. I want to love God with all that is within me. But it says the second is like the first. You shall love the Lord, you shall love others as you love yourself. That's number two. That should be, again, something that we put right at the heart of our practice, to love others as we love ourselves. Remember what Jesus said in the upper room, there as he got ready to sacrifice himself for our sins. He said that we are to love one another as I have loved you. Once again, I return to the book of Romans. It says, love does no ill or does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so as we think about the things that we are to hold fast to, let's be like the church at Ephesus, where the Lord is telling us, do not give up on love. Don't stop loving. Make that a top priority of this congregation, to love one another even as Christ loved us. Number two, again, from the messages that the Lord gave to the churches of Revelation, pay attention to your works for Christ. Pay attention to your works for Christ. Here's what he said to the church at Philadelphia. And that was, again, a very good church. And he said this, I know your deeds. You know, we could just pause there for just a minute. This is something that appears six times with the seven churches. He reminds each one of us, I know your deeds. You might think that there's things that you do in secret, but the Lord observes your deeds. He is with you always. And to the churches, he says, I know your deeds. I know the kind of things that you do. And he goes on to say, I have put before you an open door, Philadelphia, which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now, contrast that with the church at Sardis, there in Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2. He writes to the church of Sardis and he says this, I know your works. Starts the same way. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen that which remains. It's about to die, for I have not found your works complete in my sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know it. Wake up. Watch over what you are doing for the Lord. Each one of us are called to serve the Lord with all of our heart. Each one of us is given a different gift. Each one of us have a different calling. And we are to exercise those things as the grace that God gives to each one of us. Pay attention to your works. Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And then again in verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And catch this last phrase, and prove to be my disciples. I hope there's never a time in your life when you think, I've gotten to a certain age now, I can kind of back off, I can kind of sit and rest. Wait till you get to heaven. Because the Lord wants you using your gifts, your talents, and your abilities for Him. He wants you serving Him both now and guess what? Forever. But continue right here and now, because the Lord does not want us to give up on our works that we do for Him. Jesus stresses the importance in a passage in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7, verses 17 through 20, he says this, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, and every diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Once again, God says if you are abiding in Christ, you will have fruit. You will have works that you are to do for Him. And He's keeping track. He says, I know your deeds. Don't think you're going to get away with it. When one day as we stand before Him, He's going to say, okay, let's give an account. What did you do? I want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now enter into the joy of the Lord and be faithful over many. That can only happen as we're serving Him. Don't give up on your service of God. Jesus stresses the importance of service in the book of Revelation. If we return back to Revelation 2, begin at verse 2, Jesus says, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. In 2:5, He says, do the deeds you did at first. 2:19, your deeds of late are greater than the first. That's my hope and desire for our congregation here. That as we continue to meet and grow in Christ and give Christ the right rulership that He deserves in our church, that we would be producing more fruit and we would glorify Him in a greater way so that He could say, wow, what you have done in the end is greater than what you did at the beginning. And the last thing He says in Revelation 2:23 is this, I will give to each one according to your deeds. You like that? If you're serving the Lord, He says, I'm going to reward you. We know that we're going to stand before Him and He's going to bring us to account and He's going to give rewards out there. But my experience is He will reward you here and now. Don't give up on your service to the Lord. Well, you say, well, what kind of things should I be doing? Well, let me just go through a short list here in the Gospels. First of all, right from the top, what are we to do? We're to keep His commandments. I guess that's kind of an overall rule. We are to keep the Lord's commandments. Makes sense. He is the Lord, and we are to be His servants. Secondly, we're to love one another. Christ mentions this over and over, to have the same love that He has for us towards one another. Third, we are to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. That's, again, something that we are to do. Because Christ wants His kingdom to grow, and we are the ones that cause it to grow. He works in and through our lives to bring others to Him. We should take that serious, that He challenged us with a great commission. Go make disciples. We're to serve one another. In fact, it says that the greatest will be servant of all. And we are to look for ways to encourage, to serve, and to build up each other. I left one out, and that is we need from time to time to offer forgiveness. And the Lord really stresses this. If you look at the end of the prayer, of the what we call the Lord's Prayer, the very next verse says this, if you do not forgive others of their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of yours. I'm not sure what the Lord meant by that, but if He meant that literally, we better be sure that we are forgiving others that have wronged us. And let's make sure that we don't live with those wrongs. Jesus said this. He said, the ones that are blessed are the ones that keep that hear the word and keep it. You got that? If you hear the Lord's word and keep it, He says, you are blessed. So that brings us to this point. Conduct yourself with diligence. This may be a serious point here, really serious. It is written to the church of Laodicea. You know those guys didn't have a reputation for a lot of good things. And the Lord confronted them on a number of things. And here's one of them. I know your deeds. Same phrase that was used before. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, some people have taught this. They said, well, the Lord wants you either cold or hot. You say, well, that's what it says. What's the context here? What's the historical background of this? You see, the church at Laodicea wanted to be the first city with hot and cold running water. And in Hierapolis, there was a hot springs. And they thought if they built an aqueduct 6 miles away from Hierapolis and brought it into the church of Laodicea, how neat would that be? They would have hot water. Oh, okay. And then for cold water, they had to go down to Colossae, which was 10 miles away. Once again, they built an aqueduct and they sent the cold water to Laodicea. Can you imagine what that water was like when it got there, running through limestone, pipes? That's not exactly it, but it was running through limestone pipes. And by the time the water got to Laodicea, it was literally sickening. People couldn't drink it. In fact, it was like the oil of Ipecac. You drink it and you would just barf it back up. That was not the hot and cold running water that they were looking for. And that's what the Lord is saying. You have a calling in your life. Don't give up on it. And the main thing that this point is pointing out, be a servant. Be refreshing to others. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for the hot water to take a bath in, the cold water to drink. They wanted to refresh themselves. But the Lord says that we are to be concerned about refreshing others. And if we're not, he may spit us out of his mouth. There's another word that appears in these two chapters of the book of Revelation. And it is the word repent. If you look at those first two chapters, you'll notice that that word appears 8 times. And if we are going astray, the proper thing for us to do is to repent. What does that mean? To change your mind. To take upon yourselves again the teachings of Christ. And forget the things that bring division and separation. And so we are to repent. And Jesus said this, if you do not repent, he told his disciples this, you will likewise perish. This is serious, my friends. God wants us living a pure and holy life before him. He wants us loving others. He wants us loving God with all of our heart. If your life is not there, he calls you to this one word, repent. Change your way. Come to Christ. Christ did not come to judge or to condemn or to foment hatred, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost, to build a loving community which is called the church, and those that are greatest in it are called servants. That's what he told his disciples. Well, one more thing that we should not give up on. Don't give up on love, don't give up on service, and don't give up on making Christ at home in your life. Here's what he said in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. At this time of history, the greatest thing that you could do to share a good experience with somebody was to invite them either to a banquet or even invite them to your dinner. And so here we see the picture of Christ standing outside of the church building, knocking, saying, "Let me in." I hope he's not saying that here, because that would be intolerable. The Lord wants to be in a church with his presence, and he wants to be in our lives with his power. So let's open our heart's door to him. I want to share something with you. The man that mentored me was mentored by another guy named Robert Boyd Munger. Some of you may be familiar with that name. He wrote a book called My Heart, Christ's Home. In fact, when I first read that book, I immediately sat down and wrote out a letter saying I want 12 more of these. And it's a great little book. If you haven't read it, it's Ivy Press, My Heart, Christ's Home. But he talks there about how we need to make each one of our hearts the home of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a little bit about that book, just to share with you a few minutes. I might say this. This was the mentor of the guy who mentored me. And the night that he gave this sermon, it was a sermon. He gave it on a stormy Sunday night. There were 19 people in presence, 19 people present that night that he gave this message. And it's literally gone throughout the world now, 10 million copies. But here's what he said. And it's based upon a couple of scripture, Ephesians 3:16 and John 14:23. that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in the spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Or, as another has translated, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. Our Lord said this to his disciples, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." It's interesting that our Lord used the same word that he used in the first chapter, or the first verses of chapter 14 of John. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the same word, "I go to prepare a place for you," that Christ would be at home in our hearts. Our Lord was promising his disciples that just as he was going to heaven to prepare a place for them and would come and welcome one day, now it would be possible for them to prepare a place for him in their hearts, and he would come and make his abode with them. Isn't that a neat promise? The Lord says, "I have gone to prepare a place for all who love me, for all who are my disciples. I've gone to prepare a place, a wonderful place. We call it heaven." But in addition to that, he says, "I want to do something just as good. I want to come and be resident of your heart. I want to be at home in your heart." So here's what Robert Munger said about his own personal experience with the Lord. He said, "One evening I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular, emotional thing, but very real nonetheless. It was at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built the fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there'd been stillness. He filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Christ, and I never will, not into eternity." After Christ entered my heart, he says, "in the joy of this new relationship, I said to him, 'Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want you to have that place to settle down here and to be perfectly at home.' He was very glad to come, and of course, happier still, to be given a place in my heart." Now, that's the first introduction to that great book, My Heart, Christ's Home. But you get the message, same as Revelation 3. He's knocking at the door. He wants to come in. He wants to come into this place of fellowship, because that was written to a church. And he wants to rule and reign in our hearts. Well, in addition to that, not only does he want a place for us to be at home, but he also wants a place where he can walk with us. The church of Sardis again, only this time this is the positive thing. "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments," few, "and they will walk with me." I like that phrase. It says Enoch walked with God and he was taken. And throughout the Bible we hear about people who who are walking with God. It's so important then that we, his people, learn to walk with him. And that's an important thing. "The whole church may go astray, but whatever you go, whatever you do, you take the presence of the Lord with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." He promised that in Matthew 28, verse 20. "I will always be with you." So learn to walk with him. Abide in him. Pray without ceasing. Let him work in your life. Glorify him in all that you do and say. That's what it means to walk with him. May God help us to hold on to these things that are so important. May they become characteristics of this church. We love one another. We serve the Lord. We serve one another. And we walk with him. And Christ is at home in our church and in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. It's always a comfort when times of stress and trouble come to turn to your word, to hear you speak to our hearts, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, you have rewarded us greatly by coming into our lives and walking with us if we'll simply take advantage of that relationship. So, Lord, it is my prayer this morning that each and every person here within the sound of my voice would open their heart and life to you and say, Lord, I want you to be at home in me. Lord, may that happen, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.